Praise God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunities that you've given us. Thank you for the ability that we have to share together, even in the midst of the challenges. And thank you for all the people that are here. I pray that you bless them, and that everyone that is in need will have opportunity before the day is over to get the fellowship and get the personal attention that they might need. And I just thank you for the things that you are doing to bring us together and to make things better, even when we do go back and are able to enjoy each other's company again. Just open our hearts to hear from your word today, in Jesus' name, amen. Because we do that, don't we? We think about, a lot of times, when things aren't going the way that we would like for them to, we start thinking back about the way it used to be. When we were younger, when we were healthier, maybe when we had more money, or maybe when we had loved ones that are gone now that were with us. Or maybe we're thinking about a time that we felt closer to God than we do now. There's any number of things that can cause us to look back or keep looking back in the place that where the thing that we lost was last seen. Just a few weeks ago, we weren't afraid of getting sick. Unless we had some other reason. I know some people have had other reasons that they might have been, but by and large, at least as a nation, we weren't overly afraid of getting sick. We went about our business. We went wherever we wanted to go, and we gathered with church and family and friends whenever we felt like we wanted to. And finding toilet paper wasn't something we really thought about. You just went to the store and bought it if you needed it. But we tend to long for what we've lost, and we look back on the past. Or we look in the place that we last saw it. And as I was thinking about this week, actually it wasn't until yesterday, truth be known, I was still struggling for what I was going to say today, and I heard somebody talking about the resurrection that we talked about last week, the hope in the resurrection. And then it just came to me. I don't think it just came to me. I think the Lord put it in my head. I was thinking about the disciples. I was thinking about the disciples after Jesus had come back, and he'd been with them, the Bible tells us, for 40 days. And you know, not constantly necessarily, but he paid several visits. And then, excuse me, it comes to the time for him to go back and be in heaven to stay. And I'm thinking about the disciples as they're gathered around there. They'd seen their Messiah crucified. And had their hopes dashed, and they had all scattered in fear, just like he said that they would. But then they saw him risen, and now suddenly their hope is reinstated, and wow, things are going to be great now. Now they think they finally understand. And he's restored to them, and he commissions them then, as we're going to read here in a few minutes. But then, here we go again. Now, it's a little different this time. He's not being crucified. He's ascending up into heaven. But the thing is, he's gone. He's left us again. And he's risen up into the sky. And I imagine they're looking up partly in awe. But then I also wonder if they're not asking, okay, what now? This person, we know he's the Messiah. We know he's the Lord. He's walked with us for 3 years. We thought he lost him. We got him back. Now he's gone again. What are we supposed to do next? But then two angels come and they deliver a message. And I believe the message in not so many words is get back to work. Go and do what he said for you to do. And he's coming, you know, he's coming back just like he told you he would. But let's look into that a little bit further. We are in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to pick up reading in verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he'd said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in just the same way that you have seen him, you have watched him go into heaven. You know, the first thing about this passage, when we pick up, we find them asking this question. There in verse 6. Is it now? Is it now? Now, why would they be asking this? Well, you know, we've talked a lot of times about how they, you know, had been expecting all along, even, you know, before he was crucified, they thought they didn't understand what was supposed to happen, what was going to, how his purposes were going to be accomplished. They thought he was coming to take over, and he was going to redeem Israel in a literal sense, which of course he would, and he will. But, you know, they still were of this mindset, perhaps, that they thought, well, he's now must be the time. Okay, we didn't understand, but now we understand. Okay, you've done all that. Maybe now's the time that he's supposed to go ahead and complete the mission. But only years later would they understand, no, it's bigger than that. I'm not just after the Jewish people. I love the Jewish people. They're special. But I'm after everybody. I want everybody in the family. Or maybe it was just simply the anticipation. After all, we all long for Jesus to come back and set things right. Why wouldn't they think, why wouldn't they desire that and think, okay, Lord, could it be now? Could it be now? Are you gonna set it right now? We know that he has to return. But they had him right there. And everything seems to have been done that needed to be done. Maybe we would ask the same question. Maybe we're asking the same questions now as things seem to point to the end. Lord, is it now? Is it now? We don't want to see all the turmoil and the difficulties that might bring. But I don't know about you. But there's also that anticipation of, well, you know, I don't want to go through all that. But if it is time, then that means Jesus is about to be back, and who can't get excited about that? We're supposed to be excited about that. But Jesus gives them an answer that maybe wasn't what they're expecting. He said, it's not for you to know. Jesus, at least while he was here, I don't know that he didn't know at this point, because he's done his job. He's ascended to the Father. I don't know that he doesn't know at this point, but we do know because he told us in Matthew 24 that at least while he was here operating as a man, he didn't even know the time. But he says the Father has decided. And basically, it's none of your business. But meanwhile, you've got a job to do. And so he lays out this mission for them. It's really the same mission that we've heard all along. But he says, you're going to receive the power, where? From the Holy Spirit. Not when you've prayed enough, though they certainly did spend time in prayer until it happened. We read about it in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell. They'd been in prayer for several days. But that's not what he said. He didn't say, not when you've completed this task list that I've got for you, which would be meaningless without the Holy Spirit anyway, because we need the Holy Spirit's guidance to do anything the way that he wants it done. Not when you've learned enough, though Jesus had been their teacher for the past several years, but when the Holy Spirit, he says, has come upon you. And the thing that we remember, that we can take from this, is to remember that we are not the source of power. The Holy Spirit is the source of power. And what is this power for? He says, to be my witnesses. Not to display spiritual gifts, though they certainly did that and they serve a purpose. Not to bring glory to ourselves, certainly. That was the devil's own downfall, wanting the glory for himself. But to witness. Now, what's a witness? A witness is somebody who tells what they have seen. They witnessed it. They saw it happen. And these folks had been with Jesus personally. Now, the truth has its own value because God is the source of truth. Truth is always good. Truth is valuable in its own right. But it carries an extra weight when it's spoken from experience. If I tell you I read something in a book versus I tell you I was there, it's a whole different meaning. It's a whole different feeling to that, isn't it? But they would have this expanding influence. And in fact, they did begin in Jerusalem, just as they'd been told. And then from there, they moved out further and further. And here's the other thing. As you read through the book of Acts, you find out that one of the motivators for them dispersing out and carrying the mission was persecution. I mean, we think about this. You think about what the Jerusalem church was like. It was all new. It was all fresh. Holy Spirit was active. Everybody was sharing everything together. Everybody was taking care of each other. They were meeting from house to house and eating together and fellowshipping together. Well, who would want to leave that? Man, that's a great church. Who wants to who wants to go out where it's hard? But if they had stayed there, if it had not been for something pushing them out, it might have been just a local phenomenon that died and hardly even got a blip in the history books. But note something else here. when Jesus says, when Jesus is delivering this, he says, "You shall be my witnesses." In other words, this was not a command. This was a statement of fact. This is what's going to happen. When I read that, I think about what God telling me when I was just a kid, "You're going to be a preacher." He didn't put conditions on it. He didn't say, "Well, if you do this and this and this, if you're good enough." Well, I certainly wasn't, so that would have been out the window. But it was one of these kinds of statements. You are going, this is what is going to happen. And that's what Jesus said here. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be my witnesses basically throughout the whole world. And how are you going to do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And thereby, he also provided us a model. Start where you are. Start with the people around you. And when you do that, your influence will grow, either directly or indirectly, because the people that you touch will go out and touch other people, and it expands and expands and expands. But don't be surprised if it hurts a little. Sometimes that's part of the process. Jesus said you're going to have trouble. But then after he says that, he's taken up into heaven. He is returning, and Mark tells us, you know, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, which was quoted from Psalm 110, verse 1. But Jesus has assumed his rightful place of authority next to Father. But the disciples are still here, and they've watched this, and they're standing there just staring up into the sky. And I imagine I would too. I imagine any of us would. That's a pretty amazing phenomenon all by itself, but there's so much connected to it because of who it is, because it's Jesus. It's this this amazing person who turns out to be the Lord and Messiah who they've spent all this time with. And so he's ascended up and they're watching, they're standing there in awe. But then I think they might also be wondering, what do we do now? So the disciples, or the angels show up. And they're saying, they say basically, "What are you doing? What are you doing staring up at the sky? You got work to do. He's coming back. He's coming back the same way he left." He told you that, by the way. Jesus spoke of his return in multiple places. He says that he said that it would be just as the lightning comes flashes from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's Matthew 24, 27. A few verses later, he says, "They will see the Son of Man coming upon coming upon the clouds of the sky and with great glory." And then you have similar, that's in Matthew 24:30, and you have similar verses in Mark 13:26 and in Luke 21:27. But then he says that you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. In verse 48 there of Matthew 24. And then before the high priest, when he's on trial, he says basically the same thing. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. 26:64. So Jesus had told them multiple times, "I'm coming back." And so all the angels are doing here is they're reporting, they're reminding them of what Jesus already told them. So you've got a job to do. Go out and do it. and believe what he told you, that he's coming back. So we have these what now moments. And they're not necessarily because of bad times, but something changed. Something in our life that we relied on, that we had come to expect would be a certain way, it changed, and now we're looking and we're going, okay, what now? Maybe it was because of something bad. Maybe it was just because of something different. But the question that we need to ask and answer is, how are we going to respond? Are we going to go back? Are we going to try to live in the past and get stuck in what used to be? Are we going to spend all of our time pining away for what we've lost? Are we going to question God? Or are we going to trust God? Are we going to believe that what he said is true? We talked a lot about that last week, and that with the hope that we have because he loves us and because he does work things out for our good, even though it doesn't feel good right now. But we can rest in the knowledge of his goodness and his love. And then we keep doing what he's asked us to do. The lesson of the angels, why are you standing there looking into the sky? Believe what he told you and get busy doing what he asked you to do. Now today, we can lament the better times that we had in the past. We can sit and stare off into space wishing that he hadn't left. Or we can get to work. Because we do have his Holy Spirit within us, and he gives us the power to do his work. You know what? We're not supposed to do it on our own. But we do it through the power that he gives us in his Holy Spirit. And we know the day is going to come when he's going to make it all right. So, let's do that. In this time, in this challenging time when things have changed and the future is uncertain, it's starting to look better, starting to look like things are going to come back. I don't think this is the end. I think it might be a trial run. People saw what they could get away with. But whatever happens, folks, let's make sure that we have lots of people that come with us and rejoice with us when Jesus finally does come and make it right. Because we took the time, we made the effort, we took the risk to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this honor to be a part of what you're doing in the earth. Show us during these times how it is that you want us to continue, how it is that you want us to do what you have called us all to do. Let us operate with love. Let us operate with compassion. Let us operate with boldness, that as many people as possible can come with us. I know that that's what you want. In Jesus' name, amen.